Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoni.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This call-in special. We take your calls 7. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara.
You're going to hear it a lot.
When will they learn?
Before we get into your calls, there is no Again With This Friday, because May has five Fridays. But this Thursday, May 28th, club members at the $5 level and up will get the May edition of Again With Them, our monthly recap digest of Jenny and Tori's terrible podcast, 90210 OMG. Is this a week early? Yes, because I forgot when I scheduled this that they drop on Fridays now, but we're going to be ending a week early in June as well, because we're taking off for the 4th of July. So it's all going to come out in the wash. Listen, we're going to cover 4 episodes of OMG. It's fine. Hillary Swank's tenure has come and gone in season 8 without the blondes talking to her for what are now obvious reasons in terms of Tori, but they did get an interview with Christy Lean Smith, who she played the runaway bride in season 8. Who? Oh, yeah, exactly. But
sure,
she's there. And more. So to hear this and all the archives, kick up that pledge to the $5 level or higher at againwiththispodcast.com/club. Now, we had put up a call asking for you to tell us what you want us to cover when we are finished with Dawson's Creek, which is now like 20 episodes from now, 20-ish, 22, 23, whatever it is. And we did get a bunch of those, and we'll get to those last. But first, we also got a couple of questions that I think at least a few of them and some comments that predate the call for suggestions. So let's start with question number 1, clip 1.
Hi, Tara. Hi, Sarah. My name's Samantha, and I discovered your podcast when you went on to the West Wing Weekly and started bragging on Aaron Sorkin for not giving his female characters any depth. I was wondering, in season 3 of Dawson's Creek, do you think that the creators of the show did the same thing to Joey? And how could they made her more dimensional and like a better character to be falling in love with Pacey at the time? Thanks, guys.
I have thoughts about this, but Sarah, you go first. What do you think?
Well, season 3, Joey, maybe they could have made her more dimensional. I mean, the more I thought about this question, the more I thought it was a pretty good comp to Sorkin, because Joey, if she's not written in relation to one of the male leads or in contrast to Jen, you know, the hussy from New York, what even is she? I would argue that you see this in season 5 much more, where they're trying to make that Kelly Taylor fetch happen. But they don't understand who she is now that she's not cold decking jocks with trays in the calf. Even that is not a personality per se, but I'm not sure what they could have done differently. I suspect they conceived of her consciously or not as a like blue collar Felicity. I know Felicity came after, but they seem to have no idea what excellent students, which Joey is supposed to be, or people raised by a sibling, or above average English majors are like. Like, she's unable to bullshit. She's almost never shown studying. It's only an excuse for her to not do something or frown. We have no evidence that she's good or even average at writing. Katie Holmes is lovely to look at, but that also is not a personality. So I actually don't know what they might have done besides what they did. And even if they realized that she was a Mary Sue, I guess, not Mary Sue, but you know what I mean? Like Saint Joey, even if they wanted to go against that or give her some more dimension, it was like too late. by the time they tried to make her the center of the show. Tara, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think in season three, they actually did a pretty good job walking up to the Pacey romance. Like they, you know, they had the whole thing with she's in this weird ballroom dancing class to try and get a scholarship. Like that's a real thing. There are weird, random scholarships that you can get.
There really are.
And you might get them because just no one else knows about them. Mm-hmm. And so that as a pretext for her getting closer to Pacey. And I think they built the steps up to that well.
Yeah. Also, it's Pacey. Like
that too.
The Paceyness of it does a lot of the work for you. They did have chemistry.
They did.
Comparatively.
Yes, they did date. I mean, they got together on the show after they were together in real life. But I do think, like, probably Pacey is the most consistently drawn character on the show. And so I think in getting them together, it was easier to sort of mold her into the kind of person that we can believe him being with. Like, I think he's better drawn than Dawson. And a lot of the problems that we keep having with Dawson and Joey in season five and season six is like the writers not wanting to close off any avenues they might want to use later. And that means both of those two leads, Dawson and Joey, are kind of stay a bit sketchy. Like,
yeah.
And they don't give them the opportunity to like fail in a major way or fuck up in a major way or let themselves down in a major way. You know, he is because his name is in the title, and then she, because she sort of surpassed him in the later seasons, is in that position too, where it's just like she's our protagonist and that's all that she can be. She can't show vulnerability in the same way that Pacey can or Jen can.
Right. Well, and then you sort of look back at, like, I think season four was sort of the most egregious. Even though it wasn't to do with the writing of Joey, it was Pacey all of a sudden deciding to auto-destruct that relationship.
Yeah, that because was so dumb.
Reasons. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of reasons that Joey as a character is not really a protagonist. Mm-hmm. She's like a non-player character that we are forced to play.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to put it.
Yes. No, I agree. But also, the way the question is even framed, like, how could they have drawn her differently to make her right for Pacey? Sort of like, that's kind of the problem with this show overall. Like, yes, it's a romantic teen comedy, but it's always, how do the girls deserve the boys, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, let's hear another question. Let's hear clip two.
Hi, this is Greg from Ojai, home of Jake Hansen's Bar and Grill. If you guys had to do a soundtrack containing cringeworthy songs from the three shows that you've done, what would it be? I was thinking maybe David Silver's Precious, something from the Jazz Club, the Melrose, and maybe Aggressive Media, I Want You to Want Me with Joey Potter. Anyway, thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you, Greg. This is a question near and dear to my heart. Listening to our sister podcast, Extra Hot Great, know that I have an ongoing series of Game Time games with original songs from television, and I have used all of the available ones from 90210, I think, which are Precious, Switch It Up. I think I even put, I wanted a mic check, I wanted a mic check. I think that even got in. I don't think that David's hip-hop songs are actually that cringy. Switch It Up is good. Like, I'm sorry, I'll stand by that.
Legit. We put that in the book. I stand by it. It's legit.
It is. Precious is bad, but it's supposed to be bad. Like, that's that's its function in the episode. And then, yeah, I would definitely put those. I certainly have blocked out whatever was going on in the Jazz Club. Fortunately, most of those performances were cut from the DVDs, so they are none of my business, mostly. And yeah, Joey's various covers, the I Dreamed a Dream from season one as well, but also the Dawson Andy blues song when they both get drunk on his birthday. That's got to go in there too, I think.
I went a slightly different way. We have 10 tracks here. Switch It Up is number one. Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover, of course.
Of course.
I Adore Mia Moore, Color Me Bad's best track. Granola Head from The Queers, because there's no song called Avocado Head. Amanda by Boston, Sneak Attack by Jack Wagner, The Too Bad About Your Girl by the Donnas, and Like a Virgin by Madonna, doubleheader, Jazz Man by Carol King, which is actually like a decent song about jazz, so you don't have to deal with any jazz. And finally, Shoes by Liam Kyle Sullivan. This was kind of a meme like 20 years ago. Dave, could you play the clip, please?
Kelly, what are you gonna do with your life?
I'm gonna get what I want.
Oh my God, shoes. Let's get some shoes. Let's get some shoes.
That's great.
I did not clip the, those shoes are mine, bitch, but trust, anytime either me or my brother says the word shoes, the other one has to go, oh my God, shoes.
Amazing.
Kelly, what are you going to do with your life? We're a strange family. Anyway, that would be my soundtrack. And da-na-na-na is in between every song.
Of course. Yes. And at the end, I don't want to wait.
The world is full of happiness I have never known.
Oh.
Well, there's more on Katie Holmes singing in our next section, which is comments. Let's start with clip three.
Hi, my name is Fish, and I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York. And first of all, I love you guys. I stumbled upon your podcast when you first started doing Dawson's Creek, so I've never actually listened when you did like 90210, which I'm really sad that all the episodes aren't still up because I am actually going through a rewatch of that show right now as well. But anyway, love, love, love the podcast. Dawson's Creek has always been one of my favorite shows. So it was really cool to kind of listen to like-minded individuals. So as far as the show goes, I mean, season three is, I think, everybody's favorite, especially if you love Joey and Pacey. Unfortunately, season four, you get to see them together, but you also get to, spoiler alert, see it implode, which really sucks because it was just about him not feeling worthy of being with her. But as far as what we've watched so far up until season three, like, I really love everything that you guys are saying. The only issue I have, and I feel like a lot of people who talk about the show, this never really comes up. Like, I feel like we give Andy, we're not giving her enough shit the whole time. Like, she cheated on Pacey, okay? He broke up with her because she slept with someone else, which he was absolutely within his right to do, and it really was probably the best decision to make. But yet and still, I feel like we spend the entire season feeling bad for her. Yeah, sure, she's got mental health issues, but you were mentally stable enough to go in and sleep with somebody else. Do you know what I mean? Like, so why do we spend the whole season kind of feeling bad for her and kind of making Pacey feel bad for breaking up with her when I think that that's exactly what he should have done, you know? But I don't feel like he gets way more slack than she got. And that always bugged me about season three. Even like towards the end when you know they find out about Dawson and Joey and she's like at her face, oh, how could you do this to me? Ma'am, we've been broken up for quite some time now and we broke up because you cheated on me. Oh my God. I just don't understand why that's not brought up more. Why are we feeling bad for this girl? Like, she cheated on him. Okay, he broke up with her. He didn't, just because he chose not to give you a second chance, that doesn't make him a bad person. That doesn't make him, you know, the worst that there is, oh, because he didn't give you a second chance. And even, like, there was one point when Dawson threw it in his face, you know, the whole thing with him and Jen and her, like, he could break up with her all he wants to. Anyways, that's my rant. Okay, thanks, guys. I hope this gets played on the show.
Can I deliver Tish the good news?
Yes, please.
You can listen to all the back episodes. The problem is the official Apple podcasts and Google stuff and Spotify, they only support the last X number of episodes on their feed, which is the one you're using. So you only get the last 100 or so episodes. If you go to our site, againwiththispodcast.com/info, there are links to alternative feeds for all the legacy shows. So you can put those feeds into your podcast app. And you can listen to all of Melrose Place, all of Beverly Hills 90210, etc.
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding.
Forever you can. So that's the good news. Sarah, what do you think of Tish's rant?
I think it's legit. I think our take on it, if I recall correctly, just based on my initial reaction to hearing this call, is that we thought it was character assassination of Andy. Mm-hmm. That, like, dude she cheated on Pacey with was a fellow inpatient at this facility, mm-hmm. which is, like, the inpatient equivalent of 13th stepping, I guess, sort of. So
in an outpatient, am I right?
Oh! Mm-hmm.
Because they enjoy burgers.
More like impatient to get some D. Yeah, so they also gave her terrible bangs and put her in brown overalls. It was really a dark time for the Andy Hive. I don't know. So if we seemed sort of like we were putting too much responsibility on Pacey for the end of that relationship, it's probably because we really felt like, you know what, that like they did Andy dirty, mm-hmm. the writers. And is that moving chess pieces so that Joey and Pacey get together? I don't know. But out in the world, if Pacey is, I don't think anyone really gives Pacey shit for breaking up with Andy, do they?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know. Anyway, you're right in the abstract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You're right in the abstract. You know, Pacey and Joey getting together had to have impediments on both sides. And, you know, mm-hmm. Dawson was an impediment for both of them. I mean, Dawson's an impediment, period, end of sentence. But, yeah. You know, in order for it to be sort of equal, it's like Dawson is her problem and Andy is Pacey's problem. Mm-hmm. And they were together for a while. Like, you know, if you think back to high school times, like that would be sort of a scandal if a couple yeah. that had been together that long, even if she did cheat on him, like suddenly he's going out with his longtime friend. Like it would be a big deal in high school mm-hmm. terms. In yes. the world, yes, of course, Pacey is totally justified to not only break up with Andy, and I think he let her down pretty easy. Like, mm-hmm. he was nice about it, as nice as you can yeah. be at that age. So,
yeah.
Let's hear clip 4.
Hi, this is Elizabeth from St. Louis, and I just have to say, I've listened to your podcast for forever, and I also hate Jenny and Tori's podcast. It's the worst thing ever. I tried to listen the first one and I could not do it, and I stopped and just paid money to go to you guys. So anyway, I have to say that I am one of the worst people in the world because I had a crush on Andrew Shue back in 1992, 93, 94, but I've also had a crush on Luke Perry for forever, so I think I'm one of the best people, and also I love Shannon Doherty. Okay, anyway, I had a couple things to say to you guys, and then I also, in eighth grade, wrote we had to write letters to famous people in eighth grade to learn about writing, and I wrote one to Tori Spelling. It is my thing that I am so disgraced about. I told people in college, and they made fun of me. But I still have the letter that she wrote back to me, quote unquote. So if you want it, I will send it to you guys. And I think that's it. I think this might be the most embarrassing thing I've ever done in a while. So I love you all. And thank you so much for everything you do.
Thank you, Elizabeth, if that is your real name. And if it's not, we understand. But that's hilarious. Yes, please send us that letter. If you give us permission, we'll read it on the next Again With Them after we receive it. We were recording that the day after this episode drops, so it might be too soon.
Yes, I would love to see it.
Yes.
And you should not be embarrassed. That letter should be at the Smithsonian, not in our custody. So, but yes, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And thank you for being smart, for working smarter, not harder, and mm-hmm. not listening to 902 and OMG anymore.
Totally. Hello at againwiththispodcast.com is the email for that and anything else that you want to send us. Moving on, clip 5.
Hi, Sarah and Tara. My name is Susan. I'm a long, long time listener of Again With This and basically all of your podcasts. I'm a huge fan of all of yours. Lots of reading of TWAF back in the day. Hi, Dave. Anyway, I've never called in before, but I wanted to share a connection that I found kind of funny, kind of interesting that I made recently. Maybe you'll find it interesting, too. My teenager and I have been watching a lot of scary movies. And my heyday of scary movie watching was in the late 90s when I was also a teenager. So we watched Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and then we eventually made our way to Urban Legend with the one and only Joshua Jackson. And I don't know if either of you ever watched this movie or if you've watched it recently. He doesn't have a large part in it, and he has frosted tips, which I had to explain to my teenager is like a weird thing that cute boys did to themselves for some reason. Oh, and it also stars the one and only Miss Toni Morrison, Rebecca Gayhart herself. So anyway, in that movie, the big inciting incident of the whole plot is the urban legend of flashing your lights at a dark car when you're driving at night, and then that car driving you off the road. So I was listening to your recent episode, the Four Scary Stories episode, which I don't really remember the college years that much. I didn't really watch. And you get to Pacey's plot line, and that's his plot, is that exact same thing. And I just kind of thought, that's weird. So I looked it up, and Urban Legend was in 1998, so a few years before. But I just kind of thought, did Joshua Jackson read the script and go, wait, wasn't that the plot of the movie I was just in? And, like, he's not really part of that plot. Spoilers, he gets killed by a separate urban legend. But it just seemed really odd to me. Or, like, did the writers never watch that movie? Or did they watch it and be like, eh, that was 3 years ago. We can reuse it and no one's going to care. It just seemed so strange to me that he was in two properties with the exact same urban legend plot line within, like, a few years. So, I don't know. It was a connection I found interesting, and I've never called in before, and I thought, might as well share. Maybe they'll find it cool. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. Thank you so much for the hours and hours of entertainment you have provided me and my husband and now my kid. I just really appreciate you guys. All right, bye.
Thank you. I think the Four Scary Stories episode was slapped together enough that that was absolutely their motivation. I don't know if Joshua Jackson clocked it, but I'm sure the writers were like, let's just throw this in here because hopefully no one's paying attention. But if they are, it'll look like we thought this through. We somehow have not covered Urban Legend yet. Maybe this coming October in spoopy season. We'll get around to it finally. I forgot that Toni Morrison was in it. But thank you for that. Thank you for that call and for passing on the WB horror movie crossover love to the next generation. Mm-hmm. That's what we like to hear.
Yeah, the Four Scary Stories, the actual stories other than Jen's, which was really hacked up, I think those were the original parts. It's the links that they added after the fact when it didn't air on Halloween like it was supposed to. So right. I think it's even more likely that that was an intentional homage to Jackson's past work.
Agreed.
But yeah, I didn't know that. That's really funny. Let's hear clip six.
Hello, Sarah and Tara. This is Dave in Seattle. I'm calling about something very stupid. So in the recent episode on season 5, episode 21, After Hours, when Dawson and the film critic are talking for a little too long about the movie's storytelling, I don't know why I know this, but James Vanderbeek was originally supposed to be in that movie. Apparently they filmed an entire third segment that he was the star of, finished it, and then it just got cut entirely from the film. So still a weird thing for them to be referencing on the WB, but kind of a little funny or more interesting that they would have bothered to do that. All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Someone that's not stupid. That's smart. Someone did mention this on our Discord as well. And that's another thing I had no idea about, because as I said, when we discussed that episode, I've never seen storytelling. So I didn't realize that was the backstory, but that's pretty funny.
Wow. Yeah.
We also got an email from Amelia. Sarah, why don't you read it?
The all caps subject of this is, why do they keep making Katie Holmes sing? Amelia writes, it seems very strange to me since it looks like she didn't pursue any other music interests besides the show. She's not like Michelle Williams, who has appeared in a couple of musicals and sung when she played Marilyn Monroe and Gwen Verdon. Whenever Holmes has done theater, it has always been plays. Was it the writers' and producers' decision, since they clearly preferred her over other cast members? Did they think that she was capable of doing anything, anything, even though she sounded incredibly out of her element?
To say the least.
This was all very confusing to me, until sometime later, I was looking at the alternate casting options for the Phantom of the Opera movie. Apparently, Holmes was, at one point, the front runner to play the lead, Christine.
Oh, God.
Huh?
I said, oh, God. Go on.
Yeah, oh, God. Now, the timing doesn't quite line up with the production of season 5. However, Holmes did star in Phantom of the Opera director Joel Schumacher's Phone Booth, which, according to IMDb, filmed in November-December 2000. So it is possible this is when discussion of her starring in Phantom of the Opera first started. So by the time the casting process started, she needed a showcase of her singing to help her campaign for the role. And then maybe something happened during this process that made Katie Holmes say never again, and we haven't heard her sing since. Also, my suggestions for the next series that should be covered on the podcast, The OC, My So-Called Life, Riverdale, or Felicity. Whew. Thank you, Amelia. I'm not sure that totally lines up, because they kept trying to make that fetch happen with the Charlie subplot, which a lot of bad decisions were made in season 5, and I prefer not to revisit them because they're behind us now.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this wasn't something that she just thought that she could do, and then, I don't know, Xenu talked her out of it? Tara, what do you think?
Yeah, I assume whenever this happens with a particularly a female star on a TV show, I assume it's her just asking for the chance to do it, to show her range. See also Dixie Carter in Designing Women, or Jane Krakowski in Anything, or
yeah,
what's her name? Mary Lou Henner in Taxi did it too.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just a kind of vanity thing where if you've been on the show long enough, you're like, I want to make sure you can see my whole range so I don't get boxed into this character I've been playing for X number of seasons, you know? Plus, the WB being what it was at the time, I think it was just more common for actors in Katie Holmes's category to be trying to position themselves as double threats.
Double threats, yep.
And so I think if there was any interest in her cutting an album or whatever, that was probably where this came from. And then when they heard her, was like, oh, actually, never mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But imagine her in Phantom of the Opera, already a not very good movie, but that would be roof.
Oh, my God. Extremely compelling, but terrible.
Yep. We had a couple of calls on this subject. Let's just play the first one and then we'll understand. Clip 7.
This is the first no-name entry, and I'm just telling you, you have to listen to the entry, and at the end of this question, we all have to guess what that person's name is based on their voice.
Yep.
Okay. And then if we get anything right, they have to let us know.
Yes.
Yep.
Hi, Tara and Sarah. I was listening to a podcast where you put out a call for what to call the trope of characters waiting until they're in a different location to have a discussion or moment that in real life would have just happened naturally, like consequentially, like in the car on the walk home. And my sister and I forever have been calling it pause for dramatic effect. Like, that's how we call it out. But like, sometimes it happens in like, if you see like two characters making out and then the next thing you see them like falling onto a bed, will be like, oh, pause for sexy effect, or pause for comedic effect. I know that's not how the term pause for dramatic effect, I know like it already means something, but it does kind of work in this other instance as well. So I thought I would share that. Love the pods. Love all the pods. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Olivia. That's my guess. Sarah, what's your guess?
Oh, I was getting an Allie or Allison vibe.
Oh, nice.
No offense.
Dave, what did you think this caller's name was?
Ellen.
Ellen, not bad. All right, Sarah, this was your call. So your call for submission. So what do you think of pause for dramatic effect?
I mean, I think it's definitely a pause for dramatic effect, but it's like not... I mean, it's paused, but then you resume in an illogical place. Mm-hmm. So I think that has to be baked into the name more or not use the word pause? I think you're almost there, Olivian. very close to what I'm talking about. Let's keep workshopping it.
Okay. Laura had a submission as well in clip 8.
Hi, Sarah, Tara, and Dave. This is Laura from California. A few episodes ago, you asked about a name for those dumb conversations that don't really start until the people have the camera on them. And I didn't exactly lose sleep over it, but I did wait a few days to come up with my best idea. So here we go. Fidus interruptus. I think you can probably workshop that and make it better. I trust you all. All right, bye.
It's pretty good.
That sounded like a Laura to me, first of all. And second of all, thank you so much, everyone who has taken on this challenge. We will get this name. And by that, I mean you guys will, because I have been mulling this over for seriously years now.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough one. All right, our last comment is from Heather in clip 9.
Hi, Sarah. Hi, Tara. Hi, Dave. This is Heather in Baltimore. And I just need to say that Lillian Leary is really hard to say. And Lily Leary is even harder to say. And I hate it. That's all. Goodbye. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It's real rural juror hours with Lily Leary.
Yeah, it's not great.
All right, here's what is great. Your suggestions. This is what we got more of than anything else. And we thank everyone who called in to try to boss us around. We really appreciate it. I've broken them into less common suggestions, although, you know, a couple are going to be in this chunk that you will hear again. But then there was really a consensus forming in the latter category. So let's hear the somewhat outliers first, starting with clip 10.
Hi, Tara and Sarah. This is Allison. I've been listening since Beverly Hills 90210, and your podcast makes me laugh out loud. I forgot how fucking insufferable Joey Potter is in these later seasons, and I'm starting to have a little bit of dread going into the sixth season with Oliver Hudson and how just horrible he is. And then that professor that she had, I just remember having homicidal thoughts about all of them and just waiting for the sweet release of death of the show. So I'm looking forward to hearing your much more articulate and humorous takes on that. As far as a suggestion, have you ever considered Saved by the Bell? You know, it's not a soapy, necessarily drama. It's more of a Saturday morning sitcom. But unfortunately, I have to say, Dustin Diamond Screech still makes me laugh. And I would just love to hear your take on the fashion choices, the ridiculousness of that show, and the fact that I am approaching 45 and still fine. Screech funny. I don't know what that says about me. Anyway, love the show. Would love to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Thank you. The main reason I wouldn't do it is I feel like Go Bayside, April Richardson's podcast, is kind of the canonical take on it. Not that I wouldn't touch any other show that has had a podcast about it, because there are none. Like, every show has been covered.
Functionally.
But I think hers is sort of the top of the genre. So that would be the only reason not to do it. In addition to which, it's harder to be funny about a show that's trying to be funny. Yes, Dave?
Couldn't you tackle one or two episodes via Kelly Kapowski?
Yeah, her or Tori Spelling had an arc in it as well. So, yeah, we've never done it for Again With This, as I recall. Maybe we have.
I mean, I would definitely consider doing the reboot, which I loved, as like a short timer for one of those short timers that we were talking about. So, yeah.
Who knows? Could be. Clip 11.
Hey, this is Corey from L.A., and I just had an idea for the next show you guys should cover. I think your show works best if you have a TV show where there's a big ensemble of characters getting into, like, wacky situations, and there are very, very soapy elements, nighttime soap. So, yeah, I think your next show should be Twin Peaks because there are a ton of characters, there's a ton of soap, and yeah, I think you should just get into the wacky adventures of these, you know, Washingtonians, whatever. But yeah, and you know, I'm only suggesting the first two seasons, not a return, but if you want to do the return, you could. And yeah, just like, it would be a great idea, for me, at least, because I've been watching the whole series recently, rewatching it. And yeah, it's very, very, it would be very, very fun to talk about all the wacky stuff that goes on in that town, and also the upsetting stuff too. All right. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, you've reached the Corey hotline. $4.95 a minute. Here are some words that rhyme with Corey. Glory. Story. Allegory. Montessori.
Wow. That is out there. Mm-hmm. I also love that, like, Twin Peaks, like, comes to the show. Two of them,
yeah.
At least,
yes.
Show up on Dawson's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
This is so far out in left field that it's like in the bleachers. And I fucking love that for mm-hmm. you, Corey, and for us. Keep mm-hmm. them coming, folks.
The reason I wouldn't want to do it is like, I feel like it would be like going to grad school. I just don't feel smart enough to talk about it.
I also have never watched it, so it would be a good excuse for me to finally like interact with. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces, mm-hmm. like, you know, the finale. I've seen the, you know, this is the water.
Yeah, yeah.
Which should be fun to torture Dave with, I guess, in the return. Yeah. But
yeah, that was bad. I didn't like
it. I think it's a little bit outside our mandate mm-hmm. in terms of it, like, at least initially not being bad enough.
Mm-hmm. But there are only two seasons. Like, if we were to make an exception for popular with our, you know, short run series, mm-hmm. we could make one for Twin Peaks as well. Who knows?
Sure.
Clip 12, please.
Hi, this is Jen. I'm calling for suggestions for Again With This. I hope you don't hate me for this. I hope I don't hate me for this, but Sex in the City. Maybe I was influenced by my recent visit where my two celebrity sightings were Jim Brass from CSI and Train Daddy from Gilded Age.
Damn.
Morgan Spector, I think. He was fortunately not hit by a stagecoach and then shatter into a million pieces. But Sex in the City, it's a time capsule. Might be nice to take a break from talking about teenagers. I don't know. You know, I did watch all of them and the reboot, unfortunately. So take it or leave it, but love listening to you guys.
Thank you, Jen. I would be into this because I've never seen it except for bits and pieces either. And it is a Darren Star creation as well.
It is. There's plenty of fodder. We could have a whole fashion watch section. We could have a city watch section.
Mm-hmm.
We could, if that wound up being the call, we could do a short run about Carrie Diaries, which I know everyone is sick of. Especially me stumping for that. But sometimes I still dream about like Mouse's little outfits.
So
I mean,
good.
That show was cute.
It was cute.
And it would give us an excuse to do it. Not that we need an excuse. We could just decide to.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't on that long. I talk about Fashion Watch. But if I recall correctly, the last time we threw this open to the democratic process, Sex and the City finished pretty strong.
Mm.
People were suggesting it. People were into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm open to it for sure.
Okay. We got another no name, clip 13.
Friday Night Lights as the next episode to cover. Please, please, please. Season 2 optional. Thanks.
Short and sweet for, I'm going to say, Janice.
I, very close. I'm getting a Jamie vibe.
Okay.
Yes. J.A. Fun times.
I'm going Lauren.
Lauren.
Huh.
B.
Okay.
Yeah, Friday Night Lights is another one that's widely covered, but again, that doesn't necessarily disqualify it. It's a wonderful show. I do love it.
I mean, also season 2 would just be hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, I know we're not supposed to acknowledge that it exists, but mm-hmm. sure, why not?
Yeah.
And I mean, Tim Riggins, like, we'll just look at Tim Riggins for mm-hmm. like several years as our job.
Yeah.
Hard to be mad at that.
So true. Clip 14, please. Another no name.
Hi. So when you guys last asked for shows, what show to do next, I didn't know you were also wanting problematic ones, or that was on the table until a bunch of people suggested them. So I'm going that route too. Pretty Little Liars was deeply problematic through the whole run, sometimes by the network, sometimes just by the writers, sometimes by the actors. But it was also in the zeitgeist for a reason. You had Laura Layton as the main parent. You had a character get attacked by a whole car full of bees. You know, animatronic doll graveyards. It was a fun watch. It was a fun live watch. Nia Peoples tweeted about the show during the episodes in character. It was just a fun time, and I think it'd be nice if you guys got into it. I'd also recommend Northern Exposure because I want you to be happy, but that show also had Cosby Show references, well, Cosby references, Woody Allen references, Trump references, and an episode where Maggie is upset she didn't get raped, so that's got its own issues. Anyway, thanks for doing what you're doing. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Catherine.
Leanne.
Thank you, Amy.
I think Leanne is actually the winner. Pretty Little Liars sounds great. How long was that on?
Like 6 seasons, I think. Let me look it up.
Okay. Were you a watcher of that?
Nope. No, I watched the Freeform shows that were about like teens that were nice to each other, like Switched at Birth.
Okay. And I was like watching Finding Carter, I and I Alone.
Seven
the people
seasons.
Who were on that show didn't watch it. Wow.
160 episodes.
All right. Okay.
I wouldn't rule it out, and it has a sequel. So, All right, another no name in clip 15.
Hi, Tara. Hi, Sarah. I am calling to make a suggestion regarding the next season of your wonderful podcast, which I am an avid fan of. But I wanted to say first that I've been thinking about you a lot because I've been playing Tamagotchi Life with my kids. Don't know if you're familiar, but. I have my own island, which is a wonderful gift because it's in high demand in my house. And I populated my island with characters from 90210 and Dawson's Creek and Gossip Girl and Sex and the City. So I thought you might be interested to know that. And I keep taking like screenshots so I can send them to you, but then I realized that's really creepy. So I'm not doing that. Just know that. Your whole spirit is definitely there. So thank you so much for your wonderful podcast. I love it. Okay, I really want to hear me out. I want to make a suggestion that you do Seventh Heaven. So I really have a soft spot for Seventh Heaven. I know it's problematic in a lot of ways, but to me it's kind of like the spiritual sister of 90210, just from my own experience. I'm a little younger than y'all, but that's kind of how I remember TV back then. Those two shows really stand out, even more than Dawson's Creek, actually, which is kind of weird. And also, I really, really love hating on Justin Timberlake. It's one of my top favorite things to do. And I think that this will give you all a lot of opportunity. If you do Seventh Heaven, when we talk about Jessica Biel, which, I mean, I think she's probably the most famous person from Seventh Heaven, right? So I think you'll have the chance to really go to town. So anyway, I'm voting for Seventh Heaven. I hope that's what you choose. But if not, I'll still be listening avidly every week, no matter what. Your commentary is awesome. I hope you guys are both doing great. Thank you for everything. Bye.
Thank you, Claire.
Mm. Ooh, yes, Marie. Thank you.
That's the buoyant energy of a Kelly.
Oh, okay. Mm. I wouldn't be against Seventh Heaven, and I know Sarah has more thoughts than me. So, Sarah, take it away.
Unless you do a Garfield without Garfield thing where you just cut Stephen Collins out of it. Like, I just think you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yuck.
It is tough.
And happy as himself. Woof.
Although, if you did do it, then you could recap Star Trek, the motion picture.
That's true.
Where he merges with a satellite at the end of it.
And All the President's Men. I mean, look, there's a lot. Yeah. A lot going on.
All right. Clip 16, yet another no name.
Hi, again with this. I'm calling from lovely Scotland with some suggestions of shows that are very self-serving. Going along with the theme of shows I heard about a lot and were in my sort of cultural realm, a big part of the zeitgeist, but I never actually watched, which Dawson's Creek, Melrose Place, and 90210 all fall into. So shows that I think of in that same category are things like Ally McBeal, which I've never seen, and I wonder if I would really like. So good one for me to have you guys watch, and I just have to listen. One Tree Hill, another teen drama. I know more recent, but could be interesting. Perhaps Charmed. I'm hesitate to suggest any of these shows because I don't know if they're any good. But then again, I don't know if Dawson's Creek is any good. Also, considering Sex and the City. It's so current and sort of talked about so much, I guess, because of whatever the Sex and the City reboot was called. I can't think of it. But I imagine it also fits really squarely in the late 90s, early 2000s. So could be fascinating. Those are my suggestions. I love the show. Thanks so much. Bye.
Did she say she was from Scotland?
She said she was calling from Scotland.
Calling from Scotland.
That may not be Scottish. I heard a little bit of an accent.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, thank you, Bernadette.
Mm. Oh, yes, Chloe. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Fiona.
Fiona.
Sarah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. Ally McBeal, that was a very zeitgeisty show that nobody talks about anymore. I think for good reason on both counts. I'm not sure I can hang with that. It would let us again with this Shawshank.
That's true.
One Tree Hill, definitely on my like longer list of, and famous original Charmed, same thing. We could also bring that reboot back in, which I think was actually like almost good, but then not quite either good enough or bad enough.
Yeah.
In the end, and you know, the Shando of it all. And that's how we get to Ocean's 11.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can already do that because Joshua Jackson's in it, too.
Oh, yeah, true. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. What are we doing? Why is this happening? It turns 25 this year, so mental note. Yeah, these are all interesting suggestions. Ally McBeal might be a tough long-haul sell, but the others are legit. Dara?
I agree with you down the line. Ally, I'm less against it than you are, but these things ebb and flow. We're taking notes on all of these picks, so we'll let you know when we get to the end of it how many votes everything got from our calls. Let's hear clip 17.
Hello, this is Jory from North Carolina, and I wanted to give my thoughts on what show you should snark on next. These are shows in the category of shows I watched with my mom when I was way too young. First of all, I highly support your previous suggestion of Sisters from previous episodes. This is a show that was really near and dear to my mom's heart. It's about sisters living in the Chicago area, and my mom also was one of several sisters growing up in the Chicago area. The acting is great. My favorite of the sisters were Swoozy Kurtz as Alex, and Cela Ward is Teddy, and a bonus is that the show is now on Tubi in full, so it's more accessible for people who want to follow along. My second suggestion is more of a swing for the fences, and that is the show Picket Fences from the early to mid-90s. It's an interesting case compared with the other shows you tend to cover. It one outstanding drama, actor and actress in its first season. One of the few shows that accomplished this, and it also won outstanding drama and supporting actor in the second season. And it had a stacked cast, Tom Skerritt, Kathy Baker, Holly Marie Combs, Zelda Rubinstein, Don Cheadle starting in the second season. And my favorite actors were Fyvish Finkel as Douglas Wamba for the defense and Ray Walston as Judge Bone. Their friendship on the show was something special to watch. And I think at its best, the show was at its greatest when it focused just on these performances and on their relationships. I think what led to its downfall and the reason why it's fallen off of our cultural radar is that it tried to be every kind of TV show at once. It was a cop drama. It was a legal drama. It was a medical drama with ripped from the headlines, disease of the week storylines. It was a family drama. And it was also clearly a show that was inspired by Twin Peaks. and would bring in a quirky sense of humor and sometimes sci-fi-ish or supernatural elements, sort of. And so trying to fit all of this into one TV show often made it too weird for its own good. Some more notable storylines, if you've heard of any plots from this show, it's probably the Christmas episode where the cows are...
I gotta know! The cows are what? That's the end of the call. Jory ran out of time.
Allegory.
Montessori.
Picket Fences is a blind spot for me. I definitely remember how buzzy it was at the time, but it's true, it has kind of fallen off. This is not one that you hear people talk about, even though you can stream it for pay. It's on Prime or Apple TV. So it is available. I don't think it's impossible.
I think I get this one confused with I'll Fly Away, which is the Waterson one, and like very distinct.
Yes.
But I do remember back in TWAP days, people asking us, especially when summer was more of a dead time, like, can't you, Demian, I guess, would Demian go back and recap Picket Fences to fill the time? And I believe Demian politely, or perhaps impolitely, declined to do that. But it was definitely on people's radars 20 years ago, then, 25 years ago. So, yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear clip 18.
Hi, Tara, Sarah, and Dave. It's Adam P. calling. Oh, I wish I had more to say about Dawson's Creek, but I've never really watched it before. And I only know a bit about it from osmosis and the culture and just reading recaps on television without pity back in the knots. This must be how Dave feels, hearing you guys recap things like 90210 and Melrose, and eventually I'll just be associating with Nat like he does. In terms of what to cover next, I feel there's really two choices. Knowing that you're not going to make my dreams come true and cover some 80s nighttime soap or some weird sitcom. So the two realistic choices, I feel, are like Sex and the City or maybe Desperate Housewives, both of which were really well recapped on television without pity back in the day. I think I prefer Sex and the City just because I dropped out of Desperate Housewives after season 3, and Sex and the City I followed the whole time. But, you know, if you wanted to cover a best of Dynasty or not Slanting, I wouldn't be so mad. Okay, bye.
Wow. Well, Sex and the City, asked and answered, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Desperate Housewives, I think I've seen 2 episodes of that. One was at Tara and Dave's house in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was because we were covering it for Again With This.
Yep.
I guess I'm not against it, but I mean, Felicity Huffman on that show is tough to take.
Yeah.
I didn't particularly enjoy watching either episode, but it was super zeitgeisty and it would be sort of fun to look back at what was zeitgeisty back then. I'm not against old school Dynasty, frankly.
No,
keep it coming. Tara?
My only worry about old school Dynasty is that it would be too much business. That would be boring, but I get the impression it's mostly about fucking, probably.
Yeah.
And that one episode where they kill everybody.
That one, too. Yeah. We're noting all of these. We're moving on. Clip 19, another no name.
Hi, Sarah, Tara, and Dave. My suggestion for the new show, I'm not sure how you feel about Supernatural, but I would love to do Charmed or Sex in a City. I know there are two opposite sides of the spectrum there. But, again, thank you again for all you guys do. And P.S., an extra special thank you for doing a Golden Girls episode for Again With This. Hope you have a great day.
Anybody else have a heart attack when he said Supernatural? Thinking that that was the show and we're going to to spend the next 14 years. No, he says Supernatural as in.
I marked it down because I don't think he's the only one.
I think he meant Supernatural theme stuff as in Charmed.
Mm. Right.
Okay.
Well, if it's Supernatural, dude, we don't have the time. I'm 54.
Yeah, seriously.
Thank you for the suggestions, though, Robin.
I went with Rob.
I went with Robert.
What?
He's got the gravelly tone of a Robert to me.
Mm.
So if he goes by Rob and not Robert, Sarah wins. So we have to make that distinction right now.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Clip 20, please.
Hi, Tara, Sarah, and Dave. This is Brandon.
Ooh.
When it comes to which show you all should cover next, I humbly submit my vote for Original Ray's Dynasty. I know it's 9 seasons long and season 1 is like watching paint dry, but I think it's a perfect next choice for Again With This because it's loaded with Starverse favorites, top tier vintage B-roll, and so many plot points and character beats that need and deserve your commentary and insights. If Dynasty is a no-go, then I'd be fine with Party of Five since it's time for a rewatch anyway. Thank you guys again for all you do and keep doing the Lord's work.
Oh my God.
Brandon.
Voice want.
Where's give your me. Podcast? Oh my,
seriously.
Jesus Christ.
Go read an audiobook that's 28 hours long and get it in my ear holes immediately.
Dynasty is back in the conversation. That's breaking the seal on Party
People
of Five.
Love shoulder pets.
People do love shoulder
pets. Yeah, they do.
Next one, clip 21.
Hi, this is Giovanni from London. Where to go next? Now, I was thinking, possibly inspired by you mentioning sisters, which I can see why that would be funny. I think it makes sense for us to now graduate to adulthood, really, after all those teen dramas. And if there's one that I think needs revisiting, and I think you would enjoy, well, it's 30-something, isn't it? I want to know if it holds up. I want to know if, you know, episodes about buying a buggy are as compelling as they were the first time I watched it. So that's my suggestion. Whatever you choose, I'll be listening.
Have you ever typed into Google search how to pronounce and then some European word? This is the guy that does those videos. I swear to God, that's the same voice. I'm going to try to find an example.
Buggy. I mean, this is another one, like audiobooks about British history. Thank you, Giovanni. We await your 20-hour reading of King and Crown.
It's impossible to find. That would be the problem.
Yeah.
Like, you can only buy the DVDs one season at a time, and they're all like $40.
If they ever put it on a streamer, I'd be much more likely to consider it.
Totally. Yeah. We also got an email from Marianne who writes, "Hello! My suggestion for the next AWT show to recap is ER. I have various extremely valid reasons for this suggestion. Number one, Carter is the new Brandon. He doesn't always bray, but he is often just as selfish, arrogant, the worst, and infuriating. He even dates Emily Valentine for a while. It would make my year or 15 years to hear your takes about him." I mean, that's the thing. Number two, now the Pit is popular, ER is finally relevant again. Number three, there are so many insane storylines, helicopters, and the ER explodes in some way, shape, or form at least twice a season. Number four, the best hateable characters that also have a point, Carrie, or are funny while being deplorable, Romano. Number five, none of the cast are making a terrible podcast, so your risk of having to do an AW them is low. Listen, someone is probably getting an offer to do it right now, and it's probably Sherry Stringfield because she needs the money. So
Or Stamos.
Ariane concludes, curious what show you will land on. Me too. This has the supernatural problem all over again. There's so much of it. So much. Yeah.
I'm slogging through season, I guess, 13 right now. And it's just, you like these actors, but these characters are just so terrible. And it's just the C team at this point. Like, oh, Shane West. What?
Yeah.
Why?
Since you're playing around with formats, right? You know, one season wonders and whatnot. I mean, might want to, based on the call so far, consider a best of series, sort of like the three of these concept we do on Extra Hot Great, where you get a set number of episodes to pick each.
Yes.
And then that is the run.
That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. I like that idea. Sure.
I don't hate it. Could do.
I don't hate it either.
Let's hear clip 22, another no name.
Hello, Tara, Sarah, and Dave. In terms of what you should do for your next show, I have three words. Damn you, Berlante. Let's do Everwood. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Brian.
Greg.
Jason.
Ooh, yep, sure.
I wouldn't be against this either. It's just so sad.
It is. And it's also very good. And it will make me sad to see Treat Williams, because we really lost that one much too soon.
Yeah.
What if you did the podcast and it's all very sad and whatnot, but there's circus music playing in the background the whole time?
I mean, that's another format breaking thought we can consider as well.
No.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number. To a good life's sleep.
Now we have the chunk of the episode I'm calling Great Minds Thinking Alike. We're going to start really adding to our hash marks as we go through these
okay,
calls.
Okay, here we go.
Starting with Crystal, clip 23.
Hey, Sarah and Tara. My name is Crystal, and I'm a longtime listener, and I was just listening to the latest drop of Dolphins Creek, where you were asking for suggestions for shows to cover next. And I have two that are top of mind for me. One might be more palatable. You know what I'm trying to say. My words are crazy this morning.
That's right.
One for your audience that I think would be great is Felicity. I feel like that's probably in the wheelhouse of people who watch and listen to your show. And then the other is Buffy, which I'm not sure if that's more niche and outside of your listeners. But those would be my two votes, with Felicity having a slight edge. So hope to hear what you guys pick soon. Thanks. Bye.
I did a rewatch of Buffy a few years ago on previously.tv. I'm not sure I want to do that again, especially with the Weedonics of it all. And yeah. Tara is shaking her head, so I think that's probably out. Felicity, fucking A.
Yeah, I would do Felicity. Buffy, the problem is it's been so covered, not only on podcasts, yes, but like so many books have been written about it and stuff.
Yes.
Leaving aside the Joss Whedon factor.
A couple of which I blurbed, so.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, clip 24.
Hi, this is Kate. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm calling about this. But I have listened to you guys since you first came out with Again With This, doing now 2-0. So I am calling for my recommendations. Okay, I have it literally written on a dry erase board. Yeah. All right, we have Roswell, the original, not the remake. But you can do that too if you want. But the original Roswell from back in the day. We also have Felicity, which I know you've talked about. I don't know if that one's going to be as fun. So use your discretion on that one. We have the classic My So-Called Life, which you guys have kind of teased before. That one and Felicity, they're just too good of shows that I don't know how much fun that would be, but use your discretion. Okay, so then we have the OC, because Josh Schwartz, yikes, that show, yikes. And then to keep in with the Kevin Williamson theme, we have The Vampire Diaries, which I am 40 years old, and I'm going through that again right now. And it is terrible in the best ways. So those are my top choices, the original Roswell, Vampire Diaries, and the OC, because those would be so good and so terrible to listen to. And I am here for it. All right. Thanks. Bye.
So My So-Called Life, this is one where we would do it on Thursdays as if we hit our stretch goal. This is something that we've been talking about working in the one season shows. If you need more information on that, again, with this podcast.com/club tells you all of the milestones we're looking to hit, but we are, this is a spoiler for next week's episode, going to start doing one as a proof of concept. And listeners, Patreon members at the $10 level and up will be able to vote on what that first proof of concept show is. And just based on these calls, I'm pretty sure My So-Called Life is going to win because everyone is very into it. But there are other options. So as for the rest of these, sure, the OC is a very logical post-Dawson's show because it started the next year, I think, or maybe the same year. I'll look it up. So I wouldn't be against that. Roswell, meh. I don't know if that's anyone's favorite. Oh, the OC was 2003. So it started right around when Dawson's was ending.
Vampire Diaries, I think, is a great, great idea.
Yes.
Really over the top. And, you know, young Kirk, ahoy. Paul Wesley, who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew he had it in him? Yeah, these are all great suggestions. Let's keep going.
We have a written in one. Sarah, why don't you read it?
All right. This is from Sarah WG. In all caps, party of five. Not Darren Star, but a solid Wednesdays on Fox powerhouse pairing with 90210.
Yep.
I Totally agree.
Mm-hmm. Moving on, clip 25.
Hey guys, this is Kate from Northern Virginia, DMV area. My suggestion for the next show, I feel like you guys have nixed this on a previous mailbag, but is the OC. And as a former active duty Marine, I was stationed in Southern California in 2003 when the show premiered. And again, it was everywhere and it was huge. It probably didn't help that I wasn't too far from the OC and used to spend a lot of time up there. But I love, love, love that show. It's very well written, the characters, from the kids to the family. I would love to hear you guys pick it apart, make fun of it, would follow along. But honestly, I'll probably listen to whatever you guys do next. I really appreciate what you guys do. And thank you for all the episodes. Bye.
Thank you, Kate. Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Into it.
One more hash mark for the OC. Next.
Yep.
Clip 26.
Hello, this is Amy from Florida, obligatory long-time first time. I'm pretty sure you mentioned that you wanted suggestions for what your next show watch should be, and I just have to ask that you do One Tree Hill. Not only is it the natural successor to all three shows that you've done so far, but it shares some of the same actors from all three. And bonus, if 90210 OMG ever finishes, God help us, there's always Drama Queens if you wanted to continue again with them. I do have other future suggestions that I would love for you guys to cover at some point, including My So-Called Life, Popular, Charmed, and maybe the 90210 and Melrose Place reboots. But for now, One Tree Hill just really seems like a natural fit for the next show you guys cover. Thanks for listening. All right, thanks, bye.
Thank you. Adding more notes. Charmed, mm-hmm. Really a comer, more than I would have expected.
Yeah, I mean, look, Hillary Burton is my... unbeknownst to her, famous girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my dream famous double dates.
Yep.
Her and Mr. Morgan.
I can see it.
Just trying to imagine how that would actually like go. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't be as wild as the Carrie Coon Tracy Letts double date. But we'll wait to script that for, that's a whole other podcast.
Yep.
Yeah. These are great ideas. Keep them coming.
Clip 27, please. Another no name.
Hi, Tara and Sarah and Dave. I love your podcast. I found you about 90210 and then continued listening through Delta Street, and it's been so great and fun. And my biggest fear is that the next show you do is going to be something that I never watched, so that I won't be able to listen. So I wanted to suggest, sorry if that was a plug on my mind, I'm walking my dog. I wanted to suggest that you do Party of Five. Party of Five was such a great 90s show. I loved it. I watched it every week with like appointment viewing in high school with my best friend. So I think that's my suggestion. Thanks so much for all you do. I appreciate you. Have a great day.
Short and sweet. Thank you, Vanessa.
Lana.
Mm.
Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dave's right.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. Like I forget when I fell off of Party of Five exactly. Mm-hmm. I think it was starting to get a little too upsetting to look at Paula DeVic. Mm. Who was very, very slim, and it seemed like perhaps something had gone awry. Mm. I don't know if that was why. I don't know if I like didn't have a TV or something. But yeah, this is like right in the wheelhouse. And a lot of these people are still working. Like we can bounce from Scott Wolf to Everwood mm-hmm. to like basketball movies. I don't know. Good times.
Clip 28.
Wait, hang on. I just want to say, because I just looked it up, I'm just Googling it right now, but can you believe that there is not a podcast called After Party of Five?
That's shocking.
Yeah. You understand that I will be calling it Farty of Five every episode.
All right.
I feel like this is going in a certain direction, and I just want people to be aware.
Sounds like I got some soundboard work to do.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next. Clip 28, please.
Hey, again with this podcast. This is Hayden Haymaker from the Discord. I was calling in with a suggestion for the next TV series that you all would recap. Of course, I have to vote for Felicity. I just really enjoyed that show so much. I like hearing y'all talk about it on the occasions where it does come up, and I think it would be a nice compliment to what you're doing. But if you want to go in a whole different direction, which I've heard you speculate upon, I would really enjoy a Futurama recap. I know there are so many episodes, but maybe if you went with like the classic Futurama episodes from the first run, that would be something cool as well. Love the pod. Thanks. Bye.
All right.
I can hear Sarah's testicles retracted to her body.
I was actually about to do a like Basset Hound bit, and then I was yes. like, nope, I don't have the breath control for this, so moving on.
Yes, Hayden Haymaker, known to us on the Discord as a person who works in Basset Hound Rescue, and we love that.
Yep.
The pictures are always wonderful.
Say hi to Honey for us.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Beth wrote in, I grew up in Wilmington/Capeside, and my claim to fame is that Joshua Jackson briefly placed my pen in his mouth after signing an autograph for me when I saw him in Office Depot. Sadly, that is the closest I've ever been to Pacey saliva. Please keep me looking forward to Mondays by recapping Party of Five next. Thank you, signed, Pregnant by Pen Cap. What more need one say?
Well, I think Mary Beth is the leading candidate to clone Joshua Jackson if we ever have the need to.
Next, clip 29.
Hi, Tara, Sarah, and Dave. This is Alex from Boston. I actually called you guys a few years back when you were looking for new show suggestions. I was the one that suggested Sopranos. LOL. But I actually have a list of suggestions for you guys for what you should cover next. So in no particular order, my first one on the list is One Tree Hill. It would also be kind of related to 90210 because of the great Dan Scott, played by Paul Johansson. love the character. I would love to hear your take on him. I think it would be, I don't know, it's 9 seasons, so it's a lot, but there's a lot of shit in there to laugh at, make fun of. And there's some good shit, too. So. One Tree Hill, yeah. Definitely. Another suggestion, let's see. Friday Night Lights. I just recently watched this. Really enjoyed it. A little cheesy, but it has Kyle Chandler, who, oof, he is just beautiful. So that's really the reason I started watching it. But that's another good teen drama I think would be interesting. What else? The OC, maybe? It's only 4 seasons. The last season is really bad, but again, there's some good shit in there. Teen drama. Another one that you guys actually mentioned is Party of Five, which I recently bought on DVD last year and watched. And yeah, I enjoyed it. First season's pretty cheesy, kind of like first season Melrose. It's just very vanilla, but you know, get some good storylines later on. Bailey's alcoholism was a standout for me. I love that. And it's got Matthew Fox, who is a stone cold fox, you know, so that's good.
Still, yeah.
I think that's pretty much all my suggestions. Oh, and also, I feel like this is a given, and I need this in my life. I think you guys need it, too. It's only 1 season, but the great, great My So-Called Life. I would love it as like a Patreon thing or any which way you can do it. It would just be, it would make my life. So those are my suggestions. Yeah, I look forward to seeing what you guys decide to cover next. And I love your podcast. It is literally the soundtrack of my life. I have it on in the background when I'm getting ready for work. My husband is like, oh, God, not this again. Again with this. So, yeah, you guys are a big part of my life. And I love what you do.
All right, wait. Let's all say sorry to Alex's husband, who is named...
Jeff.
Alex.
Michael.
Ah.
Two Alexes? All right. I got a pitch for you, Sarah, before you get into reactions here. What if you did a limited run of just the teen storylines from Sopranos? We call it Teen Sopranos.
Oh my God, that's so much meta with AJ, though.
Oh, I know.
That would be kind of funny, though. Mm-hmm. And it would include the meeting over moment. I think maybe in the tiny canon.
Hmm.
I think these are all solid suggestions. And I will also add that we do like there's some cream rising to the top mm-hmm. here. And we have a leader.
Yep, we do.
One show has taken the lead. I will not say which one yet. But yeah, we've got like a handful And then one with just one more point.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's keep going and see how it all shakes out. Clip 30.
This is Kim from Wisconsin calling in, doing just a lot of research on what the next recap show should be. And I thought of the Sambi's, One Tree Hill, Felicity, and Buffy. But I think The Vampire Diaries would be a really great one to tackle. It's got some ties to the, again, with this universe, with Kelly Hughes, Susan Walters, and Joel Grosch. It has Jasmine Guy, Gina Torres, and Melinda Clark, who were never in any of those shows, shockingly, but should have been. And then it has Margaret McIntyre, who was in about 15 episodes of Loving. So there's ties just in general to the Again With This Family. Great show. Plot moves just at a killer speed. And I think there's a lot to tackle there. It also just has the highest highs and really big bottom outs. And then it comes back and wins you back. It also answers the question, how many doppelgangers are too many doppelgangers? And if there are four, are they still doppelgangers? Anyway, would love to see you guys tackle that one and looking forward to whatever the next one is. Thank you.
That's my rap name, Big Bottom Outs.
Yeah. Thank you, Kim.
Quadruple gangers. Love that.
We also got a, I forget if this was an email or a text, but go ahead, Sarah.
All right. This is from Christina. Hi, Tara and Sarah. It's interesting to listen to your commentary and to compare what my late teen / early 20 year self thought about these episodes with how I feel now at 47. Sidebar word.
Yeah.
For your next watch, let me throw in a vote for Felicity. And we have a new leader.
Vote counted. Clip 31.
Hello, this is Amy from Boston. I'm calling just with a suggestion for your next show to cover. My vote would be for Felicity. I feel like it goes well with the other shows that you've done. And I know from hearing you guys talk over the years that you both watched it. So I think that would be a fun one to cover. And another idea I had was if you wanted a break in between doing long multi-season shows, maybe you could do some like one season shows here and there. I, of course, would love to hear you guys talk about My So-Called Life. You could maybe do Freaks and Geeks, or, you know, I'm sure there's a million other one season shows that you could cover. And that would give you more content, but also give you a break from these, you know, 5-6 season shows. And this is a tangent, but thinking of one season shows reminded me kind of how long I have been in the universe of all of you guys, going all the way back to Television Without Pity. When I was thinking of one season shows, I thought of Bands on the Run, which was truly one of those shows that even 20 years on, 25 probably, I still think that show was amazing, and I can't believe they didn't make more of it. And it also reminded me that I'm not a big, I don't know, I guess you'd call it fan mail. I'm not a big fan mail person. I don't tend to write to people to tell them I like their work. Maybe I should, but I don't tend to do that much. And one of the very few times in my life that I have done that is back in the TWOP days. I wrote to, I believe it was Sarah's brother that was covering Bands on the Run on the site, and I emailed him to tell him how much I loved his recaps. We lamented that there was no season two. And it was just really fun, and it made me think of it when I was thinking of one season show. So thank you for all of the literal decades of enjoyment of all of your work. Yeah, so thanks. Have a good one.
Amy called back. Let's hear clip 32.
Hello, this is Amy. I called, I don't know, a couple hours ago maybe, recommending that you guys cover Felicity for your next show. But I just had to share, because I also had a tangent about Bands on the Run, I had to share a tangent about a tangent, which is that yesterday my mom gave me a CD, a physical CD that she had found at her house that was mine, and it was just labeled Mix Number 2, 2001. That's all I knew about it. I was just listening to it, and it has not one, not two, but three different songs that I only knew because they were on Felicity, and best of all, it had a song by Flickerstick from Bands on the Run. So I just felt this like universal synergy of the fact that I had just called you guys and then played this CD that just surfaced
from somewhere in the depths of my mom's attic yesterday. So anyway, I think the universe is definitely telling you to cover Felicity and also spread the gospel of Bands on the Run, which last time I checked, episodes were on YouTube. Whether they still are or not, I'm not sure, but I will be checking that later on today. Okay, that's all. Thank you for the tangent on a tangent. Bye.
Oh my God. Thank you. I will pass along to Mr. Stupidhead, aka Dave Jr., that you had this exchange. Like, we were at a Flickr 6 show together for work one time at a club that does not exist anymore because that's how old we both are now. And Dave, like, saw Dominic on the street and was like, thought it smelled like gonorrhea. Yeah. And I still laugh at that. He's funnier than me, Dave Jr. It's very annoying. Anyway, thank you so much for this vote and for that tangent and mix number two on a CD. Were we Perfect. Ever so young?
I know.
Were they downloaded from LimeWire? It's my favorite reference.
All right. Moving on. Clip 33.
Hi, this is Marnie. Long time, first time. I am calling with a recommendation for the next show that you guys should recap, and I am sure I am not the first or the only person to suggest this, but One Tree Hill. It is bonkers, it is stupid, but it is such good, crazy soap opera drama that you somehow can't find yourself watching to the next, to the next, to the next. So I think it really speaks to the kind of shows that you guys have been doing. And also, I don't think this is one of those shows where the cast of the show is actually doing their own recap show.
Wrong.
Like the other one I was going to suggest, which was The OC. I think The OC has some of their stars recapping it now, whereas I believe there is a podcast with the women from One Tree Hill, but it's more like a hangout podcast.
Oh.
Or they talk about some of their experiences on the show, and I think there's some good drama among those women as well in real life. So it'll allow itself for a lot of other Again with this episode. So that's my suggestion. One Tree Hill, do what you will with it. Thank you.
Sorry, I said you were wrong. I knew there was a podcast, but I take your point that it's not a straight ahead recap podcast. So
right.
Fair enough. One Tree Hill coming up. Let's hear clip 34.
Hello, this is Kate calling from Southern California. The original Degrassi High. I'm talking the days yeah. of Spike and Joey Jeremiah and the curly-haired twins. I think all the episodes are on YouTube. This would be a good one because there's only a couple seasons. It'd be like a good short little something to do before you dive into another full series.
If only.
If not, my third choice is either the OC or Seventh Heaven, because that is just a complete diaper of a show. I would love to hear you guys talk about it. Okay. Thanks for all you do. I enjoy your podcast, and I can't wait to hear what you guys do next. All right, bye.
Well, I'm stealing that joke for sure. A diaper of a show. Boy.
Sure is.
All right, moving on. We're so close to the end. Clip 35.
Hi, Tara, Sarah, and Dave. I'm Rebecca. I have recommendations for your next show for recap. Felicity. Great show. Carrie Russell is a goddess. What are your takes on the Noel versus Ben debate? I've been known to be a bit of a Noel apologist, but I really flip-flop back and forth between him and Ben. I really need you both to guide me. I will feel how you tell me to feel about Noel versus Ben. I trust y'all that much. I need help here. I'm also down for Party of Five, Buffy, no Battlestar Galactica or whatever the hell. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I will follow you wherever you go because I just adore you guys and this podcast. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
Wow.
The leader is getting further and further away from the rest of the field. Let's hear clip 36.
Hi, Sarah and Tara. This is Tabitha. I wanted to weigh in on the next series you should cover.
Ages back, you mentioned the possibility of doing Felicity, and I've held on to that hope for a long time. And I think this is really the right time to do it because, in my mind, Dawson's Creek equals high school, and Felicity obviously equals college. So it only makes sense to graduate from Dawson's Creek and move on to Felicity. Plus, I need to know if you're Team Noel or Team Ben. In my mind, there's only one right answer to that question, but I feel like I want to hear your opinion on that. So thank you for considering my vote, and I keep doing what you do. Bye.
Thank you.
Team Dr. Greg is the answer, isn't it? Just kidding. He's terrible.
Clip 37 is our last no name.
Hi, Tara and Sarah. I'm here to place my vote for the next show to cover, and it's Party of Five. There are really no podcasts that cover the show, and I would love to hear your takes on it, especially when the men of the show act like fools. There are so many different storylines that would be interesting to discuss and fun to compare how 90210 handles, or more often mishandled, the same topics. Thanks.
Before we get into this, I just want to pitch that we should put something on this guessing game. Chances are it's going to be a three-way tie of zero. But if somebody actually is pulling ahead and actually wins, not a tie, a win, then I suggest the other two people have to chip in to buy them a desk nameplate with their nickname on it.
Okay, so what is this person's name?
Casey.
I'm going to say Louise.
I'm going to go with Jennifer because I feel like that was a very popular name for our generation. I don't think anybody's said it yet.
Yep. Yeah. All right, clip 38.
Hello, Tara, Sarah, and Dave. This is Lauren calling from Madison, Wisconsin. One thing I've noticed, at least on my end, of all three shows that you have recapped so far, is that in all three shows, I started watching them when they premiered with great excitement, and I was a rabid fan. Yet by the time they reached their ending, I had completely lost interest. I don't think I watched the final season of 90210 because I had jumped ship to watch one Dawson's Creek. I missed the final season of Dawson's Creek because I was doing study abroad. And Melrose Place I had jumped ship from long before. I think it was Lisa Rinna. I think she turned me off, which is just shows how times have changed because she is obviously a jewel. For this reason, my request is that your next show also be one that I was a rabid fan of and then couldn't care less about by the end. So either Felicity or Jane the Virgin. Thank you again for all of your work. I love this show. And whatever show you choose next, even if it's Battle of the Network Stars, I will watch. Thank you.
Wow.
Wow. That's a lot of pressure. But thank you.
It sure is.
Okay, let's hear clip 39.
Hi, Tara, Dave, and Sarah. My name is Peter, and I want to make a case for one show for your next season of the podcast, which is The OC. I think The OC is the obvious spiritual successor to 90210 and Melrose Place and Dawson's Creek for multiple reasons. I think it's also a fascinating study in everything that can go wrong with a TV series, even when it is hugely successful, even when a network is behind, even when you have talented writers, and yet I think a lot of fun. So I would advocate for it because I feel like it's kind of right in your wheelhouse and also like a good mix of like not very good, but also sometimes surprisingly really good. And they weirdly pulled it out for the last season where it's often just like sort of wacky, doesn't make sense, but it's fun. And I feel like some of the things you all have been recapping are not that fun. And I would like that, like you all to have fun. So again, The OC, that's my rec. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Peter.
All right. Wow. All right. As we are approaching the last two calls, we have a pretty clear leader, but we have a couple sort of tied right behind it. And this could get interesting with the last couple calls.
Sure could. Let's hear clip 40.
My name is Paige, and I've just got two things for you. The first is I'd very much like the next show you guys cover to be Party of Five. It's one of my all-time favorite shows from my youth, and I don't see enough people cover it, which is why I started listening to the Again With This podcast in the first place. I felt the same way about Beverly Hills 90210. I didn't see enough
podcast cover it and cover it well the way that you guys have. And my second thing is I would like you to do a thought experiment, if you don't mind. I want you to take one of our lovely teenagers from the Dawson's Creek show and swap places with somebody in the Beverly Hills 90210 show and tell me how that would change things and what you think would be interesting about it. If you don't want to do it, that's okay, but I just thought it would be a fun idea to put into motion. So anyway, thank you very much for listening to my voicemail, and I hope I get played in the call-in show, and I will be listening to your guys' voices very soon. All right, thank you. Have a great day, Sarah, Tara, and Dave. Bye.
Tara and Sarah have done this before, so I'll just add in mine, which I think is really going to work great. So we're taking a character from Dawson's Creek, and that's the I'm not drinking milkshakes, I can assure you guy.
Yes.
The filmmaker.
Mr. Brooks.
Yeah, and he's replacing Dylan.
Oh.
Ooh.
Sexy. Okay.
Uh-huh. And then Dylan and Grams are getting it on. I actually don't hate this.
Okay, great.
It's pretty good. All right, our final call.
Hi, Tara and Sarah and Dave. My name is Juliet. I wanted to pitch for your next show. I've heard some rumblings that maybe Felicity would be on deck, and I would love that so much. I feel like Felicity kind of hits the trifecta in terms of the bad boy who's not really that bad, because you have Dylan, and you have Pacey, and you have Ben, and also the nice guy who's really not that nice, kind of a jerk. I don't need to say their names. You know who they are. But I would love to hear Dr. you guys Greg. Talk about Knoll. So I did say his name from
Knoll.
The old Television Without Pity recaps. I love how you would call him Knoll. Anyway, I would love to hear you talk about Felicity in real time, because I didn't really I wasn't following the recaps during the day, although I did end up reading them much later, and they were a lot of fun. Another pitch would be for Everwood, because it also hits that teen drama itch. It scratches that itch, but it's just a great TV show all around. And it introduced me to Damn You Berlanti, which my husband and I still use to this day when we rewatch that show. And my husband says, they got to do it for the treat of it all, because we all love treats. And I agree. Either one of those two shows would be awesome for me. And I also wanted to say a quick shout out to Sarah for always calling Dawson's Creek on their Boston area, Cape Cod area geography shenanigans. Someone who grew up not too far from there. It's ridiculous and it makes no sense. And I always say to myself, why didn't they just, that's the show in North Carolina, because most of the locations they stay on Cape Side and the times and the distances and geography, none of it makes any sense. So I always appreciate that you call that out as another East Coaster. So thank you for the awesome show. I love it. I'm so excited to hear you talk about the last season of Dawson's and how it all winds up. I have such vivid memories of watching it in real time, so it'll be fun to hear you talk about it and what you decide to do next. And all the best. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Juliet. I'm glad that there is one other person who cares when Cape Geog Truther Buncey gets back on her isthmus bullshit. With that, and wanted to shout out the great A.B. Chow, who was the creator of Damn You Berlanti, and then wound up working with Berlanti.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes around. I am a little surprised Everwood didn't get more traction, but I guess I was just sort of surprised by that, like, generally in the culture at the time. Mm-hmm. Also,
yeah,
you know, I think there are good arguments for it, but I think there's a pretty clear winner, at least on paper here.
There is. Let's go down the line. We'll just do all the one vote getters, all the twos, and then on up the list. One vote shows Riverdale, Saved by the Bell, Twin Peaks, Pretty Little Liars, Northern Exposure, Ally McBeal, Sisters, Picket Fences, Desperate Housewives, Knott's Landing, Supernatural, question mark? That one was in dispute. 30-something, Roswell, 90210 sequel show, The Melrose Place sequel show, Futurama, and Degrassi, and Jane the Virgin. Two votes were tallied for Original Dynasty, Friday Night Lights, Seventh Heaven, and Everwood.
And Vampire Diaries.
Also, oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. And Vampire Diaries. Three votes for Charmed and Buffy.
Yep.
Four votes for Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Five for One Tree Hill. And then six for The O.C.
I have seven for The O.C.
I got eight for Party of Five, and well out ahead of the rest of the pack, we got Felicity. 11 votes for Felicity.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I kind of thought Party of Five was maybe going to catch that on the backstretch there, but okay. Well, we have, as the woman sometimes says, a lot to think about.
We have a lot to think about.
Going into the commercial break.
It's true. We discovered recently, like last week, that Felicity is no longer streaming on Hulu or any other service. So we'll have to see what's going on in the streaming world in about 3 or 4 months when we start folding in our next show amid the Dawsonses. But we'll keep you posted on our decisions. And thank you to everyone who called in, including the ones whose call we did not play.
Who have to let us know if we got your name right. It's very important. So email us if we nailed.
We do. There's nameplates at stake.
Yes.
It's very important.
Thank you so much.